Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization's Stop TB Partnership has just launched its global plan to end TB 2018 to 2022. Among its aspirations, the plan calls for $2.6 billion per year for research and development of new tuberculosis diagnostic tools, new drug regimens, and a new vaccine, as well as $13 billion per year for TB care and prevention. The Pediatric Drug Resistant TB Initiative was also launched to address the challenges of access to proper treatments for children infected with TB, particularly drug resistant TB. For more on this new initiative to combat tuberculosis, I spoke with Luchika Ditiu, Executive Director of the WHO's Stop TB Partnership. Take a listen. Dr. Luchika Ditiu, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you guys for doing this.
A global action plan for ending TB epidemic is being launched in Jakarta. Tell us more about it.
It's a very important moment because it's a plan that takes into consideration the efforts and the finances needed to be put in place if we want to reach the UN high-level meeting targets for TB. So we are very happy because it includes basically the targets and the commitments made in September 2018 by the heads of states and governments are being unpacked per country. So each country has their share, irrespective of being a high burden or just having some TB cases, not a very high number, but everyone contributes to what should be a successful work on TB. If properly funded and implemented, this plan by the end of 2022 will reach this target. We will not end TB by that date, but we will be very well on track to end TB. If we don't deliver on this one, we can, as of end of 2022, be very clear that we will not reach the SDG of ending TB by 2030. So it's a very important plan for us.
Okay.
It constructs on other work that we did and other global plans. It's not the first plan that we have, but it's the first that we have that has very clear commitments by the heads of states and governments.
This is actually an update, an extension of the global plan to end TB 2016 to 2020. So you say that in this plan there is a clear commitment from heads of states and government. What else is perhaps an innovation this time around?
So there are a few things that are pretty unique there. Is the fact that basically, as I said, pretty unique is this thing. We never had targets per country. Never, ever. Put in a document. You know, we spoke about each country needs to end TB and tarara, but this time, because we have a very clear number in the UN high-level meeting declaration saying you need to diagnose and treat 40 million people with TB, it's possible to unpack their country. So it's very important that we have now some indicative targets per country. So it's very easy to trace where countries are staying versus each other. It's not an easy fact because, of course, nobody likes to be ranked against the other one, not even us as human beings, but it's
yes.
A very good advocacy tool. The second thing that is very important is that we have some progress that was recorded in the work that happened basically in 2018, you know, in terms of closing the gap of the missing people. So in a way, how to say, the baseline is a bit shifted. So and we go with a different hope. We are even more energized ourselves because we see that it's possible. So it's very good that we construct on some hope that we have, which is around different packages of interventions to find everyone with TB, but also on the fact that we see some spark and some enthusiasm growing into innovation and research and the development of new tools. We have a promising vaccine. We have some new drug regimen, the BPAL, and have new others in the pipeline that we are looking at. And I think we are seeing a bit more in terms of the diagnosis tools. So another feature, as I say, is versus other plans that kind of the previous version called, this remains a paradigm shift. Was a version that was very much, how to say, not crying, but whining, you know, like, oh, it's bad, oh, we don't have that. I think in here we see that it's possible. We have some potential tools, so there is a bit more hope in going forward.
So, Dr. Ditiu, when you look at the global landscape on TB, what kind of assessment can you give us? Just an overview.
So, there is TB was the progress that we saw in TB was there, but very small. You know, it was like a really like a snail progress, very small. Every year we saw a little bit of decrease of the incidence. We saw a little bit more people with TB diagnosed and treated, but it was pretty lame, how to say. This year is the first time we see a bigger jump in terms of finding more people with TB and closing the gap. So usually every year for the last 10 years, we were finding somehow 100 to 200,000 more people with TB from one year to another. This is the first time we have 600,000 more. So, you know, it's big. The other positive thing is that we see a lot more interest at the level of heads of state and governments around TB, which we never had, and ministers of health. This year was a spectacular year. Only us from Stop TB, we were able to reach around 6 heads of states or prime ministers and discuss about TB with them. For other diseases, this might not be so much, but for us in TB, where we basically never had interaction with the states or government, is huge. And that's not huge because, we met with the prime minister of country X or Y, but it's because they never had the time to discuss TB. It was always like, it's not for, you know. So we go now to Indonesia. We have a big Indonesia meeting and event with the president of Indonesia and his and the cabinet of Indonesia, which is huge. So, because Indonesia is the second high-burden country in the world. So, so the other thing is this, in terms of we see more political commitment and more political engagement for TB. And then, as I said, there is some progress in terms of research.
Okay.
Now, where the challenges stay, because you said where are the challenges, you still miss 3 million people with TB every year. We still have 1.5 million with TB dying every year, which is the biggest number killed by an infectious disease. Uh-huh. And we still see not yet bending the incidence curve, which is the ultimate measurement. You ask me, Lucica, you diagnose more, you treat more, you see more political commitment, but do we see a bending the curve? And we don't see that yet. I think it's not something that you can see after 1 year. You need kind of like 3-4 years to see a change in that. But still, these are the challenges that we have ahead. And then the last challenge that I will say is that you see the entire environment now in the global health and socioeconomic arena is changed. Things are changing every day, even in terms of the political agendas of countries. So it's very difficult on this to maintain attention of the government on certain specific topics. Universal health coverage is what everyone speaks about. And it's very easy in that broad discussion on universal health coverage to lose, the sight of what you have to deliver, because ultimately we need to end these diseases by the end of 2030. So the challenges, these are kind of the challenges that we are still facing.
Now, the launch of the Global Action Plan is said to be benefiting children with drug-resistant TB. Talk to us about how children will be benefiting this time around.
As the head of this organization, Stop TB Partnership, and as a human being, I'm not, warmed up by launching documents, okay? It's like, great, we launched a book or we launched a paper, great. I'm more interested to say, what can we do concrete to support country programs? So that's why, in the same time, we launched two things. We announced this pediatric formulation for kids with drug-resistant TB that we have a special initiative and that we already pushed in 56 countries to use it. And the other is that we are launching a call of around $2.5 million in which we'll give money to grassroots organizations, civil society organizations, not the big fancy ones, not the ones that we meet in big meetings at global level, the ones that really do the work at the field level. And we will fund them to be able to do a lot of engagement in the TB response from their side, because they know for sure what's better for their communities and for their people, but also to be the eyes and hands and the ears for us in the countries, because we want to make sure that the programs are ultimately delivering. So we said, listen, we cannot launch just the global plan as a book. It's a very good one, but it needs to be accompanied by some things that will basically deliver for people. And that's why we announced this pediatric formulation for kids for drug-resistant TB, meaning drugs that are specially developed for children with the right dosage and, you know, the very good taste, you know, that makes it appealing for poor kids to take it. And we launched this call for proposal called Challenge Facility for Civil Society, or the largest ever that we had for a grassroots organization.
We've seen, Dr. Dichu, that with the HIV/AIDS infection, the rates of TB have increased. That's one of the reasons why there's so much TB around the world. Would you say that now the biggest challenge in containing TB these days is the HIV/AIDS co-infection, or does it have to do with drug-resistant TB?
So it's a very good question. It doesn't is not linked to HIV/AIDS. Just to let you know, three things. One is that TB/HIV co-infection is in 10% of people. So 90% of TB is outside the HIV co-infection. So obviously, even if we contain the TB/HIV part, we still remain with 90% of the TB single one, you know? Mm-hmm. TB/HIV co-infection is hugely important. It's essential. What you said about containing TB only if you contain HIV is absolutely true in African region. The co-infection rates in African region, so I told you that the average global is 10. The co-infection rates in African region go up to, are as high as 80% in some countries. So 80% of people living with HIV are having as well TB. So that's huge, you know. So indeed, in the African region, without properly addressing HIV and TB, you will not end any of them. However, African region, because of the population, you know, the biggest reservoirs of TB with the biggest number of cases of people with TB are in Asia. You have there India, Indonesia, Philippines, Cambodia, Thailand, Bangladesh, Pakistan. When you put all of these Asian, you know, Southeast Asian, Eastern Mediterranean region or whatever countries together, it's a high percentage of the TB cases in there, China and so on. So in and that TB/HIV co-infection in there is not as high. There, the biggest challenge is to really ensure two things: that the private sector, which is highly developed in most of these countries, is part of the entire TB response, and that there is a great collaboration with the private sector. And the other part is to ensure that these countries are more advanced, their national budgets for health and TB are higher. A lot of them are putting in place health insurance systems, and that's where we need to make sure that TB and then BRTB are part of the health insurance system, because then you get more money, or you get the right amount of money to treat and diagnose TB. So MDR-TB, because you spoke about it, is a big threat. Especially in the Eastern European region, where we have a large number of people with MDR-TB versus the people with normal TB. The big reservoirs are as well for MDR-TB, obviously Asia, because that's number of population. But when you look at how many of the people with TB have MDR-TB, percentages are higher in Eastern European region. So I would say that, and this is what we have in the global plan as well, each region is different, and each country in the region almost is different. So there are very few similarities. And that's why in the global plan, we even have, we look at different packages of interventions for 9 different groupings of countries that are all pretty specific in their own way, because it's not easy. You cannot have a one-size-fits-all.
What is the way forward in the fight against TB?
So I would say one of them is the fact that the government should realize what are the diseases that affect their people. And in the ones where TB is killing people at a large scale, they should own that problem and they should address it. And that's why having targets for countries, having them realize that they have to deliver on their own for the good of their own population, having you know, this high-level advocacy and interaction will be extremely important, because with the awareness of the decision makers will obviously come as well the you know, the engagement and possibly additional funding or at least additional support. So that's the first piece, is a combination of political awareness and financing and accountability. And the second one is, in general, not just for TB, but for TB especially, is to have the civil society and people affected by TB really at the center of the response in a real way. A lot of people speak about that. A lot of people explain about it. When it goes to, you know, the rubber hits the road, very little is happening because very often people affected by TB are invited to meetings, are invited to the development of programs and so on, but just to tell their story, just to be there and to be the face of the disease. Actually, it's time to switch around and they know much better what's needed for them, how it's needed to be delivered, by whom, what will ensure that a response is successful. So unless we shift and have people affected by TB and civil society and communities as part of the development of the response for TB, but I would say for any disease, we will not be able to end any of them.
Dr. Luchika Dzitiu, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for doing this.
And that was Dr. Luchika Dzitiu, Executive Director of WHO's Stop TB Partnership. It's time for a short break. We'll have more on the global fight to end tuberculosis when we come back. Don't go away.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
Welcome back to Health Chat. I am Lynor Moudou. If you're just joining us, today we are looking at tuberculosis. So in this first report, Voice of America's Carol Pearson takes a look at the United Nations effort to combat the viral infection.
Last year, tuberculosis killed more people than any other communicable disease, more than 1.3 million men, women, and children. Yet experts say countries are not providing enough money to contain TB. One UN official said an additional $13 billion per year is needed to get the disease under control. The World Health Organization estimates that 10 million people who become infected each year live mostly in poor countries with limited access to health care. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus told the assembly that partnership is vital to end the disease. WHO plans to lead UN efforts to support governments and other partners to drive a faster response to TB. Most patients can be cured with a 6-month treatment program, but as world leaders told the assembly, medication is expensive and the stigma associated with TB interferes with getting people screened and treated. Nandita Venkatesan, a young woman from India, told the gathering about the toll the disease has taken on her life. She got TB more than once, including a drug-resistant variety. Venkatesan said getting cured involved hospital stays, 6 surgeries, and negative reactions to the medicine that was supposed to cure her. Just days before the high-level meeting, the World Health Organization released its annual TB report. It found cases among all age groups and in all countries. 2/3 of the cases were in just 8 countries: India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, South Africa, and Nigeria. The meeting ended with the adoption of a declaration intended to strengthen action and investments for ending TB and saving millions of lives. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Now, multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis is a great challenge in combating the disease. VOA's Jessica Berman takes a look.
Multidrug-resistant tuberculosis, or MDR-TB, has developed a resistance to two of the most common drugs used to fight the disease. The World Health Organization classifies MDR-TB cases as either new, when the disease shows up in people who've never had TB, and retreatment cases, people who've been treated for TB in the past. In West Africa, the WHO estimates that 2% of all new TB cases are multidrug resistant, and retreatment cases are reportedly much higher, an estimated 17%. But researchers on the ground in 8 West African countries are warning that the number of new and retreatment cases is actually much higher. They say the number of new cases of drug-resistant TB is closer to 6%, while as many as 35% of retreatment cases are MDR-TB. The network, West African Network of Excellence for TB, AIDS, and Malaria, called WANETOM for short, did an analysis of almost 974 sputum samples taken from people infected with TB. What they found was that 39% of the TB samples showed resistance to at least one first-line antibiotic used to treat tuberculosis, while another 22% of the samples did not respond to two or more anti-TB drugs. The findings are published in the online journal BMC Medicine. WANETOM's Martin Antonio, with the Medical Research Council unit in Gambia, says the statistics are particularly worrying for the 245 million people who live in West Africa, one of the poorest corners of the world.
And the higher rate in the community, the more likely that it will be spread. And we really need to cap that.
Another problem, when the researchers took a closer look at MDR-TB cases, they found that a lot of the MDR-TB was also becoming resistant to second-line drugs. Health officials call this form of TB pre-extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis. This more dangerous form of TB was found in sputum samples at all study sites in Burkina Faso, Gambia, Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Nigeria, Senegal, and Togo. Pre-extensively drug-resistant bacteria are on the verge of developing into extensively drug-resistant bacteria, which respond neither to first- or second-line drugs. The highest proportion of pre-extensive drug resistance was seen in Ghana in 35% of MDR samples. Antonio says if the spread of multidrug-resistant TB continues at its current pace, little could be done for some patients.
It means that the treatment options for those patients is also quite limited. So it means more of the patients may actually die from TB because they may be untreatable.
Antonio is calling for aggressive community-wide TB containment efforts to be put in place as soon as possible in West Africa to prevent a worsening of the tuberculosis epidemic. That includes beefing up laboratories to conduct rapid testing and treatment of TB, more personnel to make sure patients take their drugs properly, and actively following those who are treated more than one time for TB to lessen the risk of spreading multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Now to Kenya in East Africa, where Voice of America's Rahul Ombor reports on efforts by the government to address TB.
The survey represents a united front by many committed parties to determine the true burden of tuberculosis and how to best combat the fourth leading cause of death in Kenya. It is intended to provide an accurate estimate of Kenya's TB burden, determine the existing challenges in delivering TB testing and treatment, and identify people with TB not yet detected by the National TB Control Program. The survey was conducted to inform the government on how to effectively respond to TB control. More than 63,000 people across 45 counties in Kenya were screened for the survey, and for the first time, there is accurate data on TB prevalence. Dr. Enos Masini is the head of the National Tuberculosis, Leprosy and Lung Disease Program at the Ministry of Health. He says the survey was driven by a need to know what the country was facing.
We undertook to do this survey in the community to provide us with data with the exact burden of the disease in Kenya, but also to go further and find out which groups of people are affected by the disease and what would be the best strategies for us to reach them.
The report states that there are more TB cases in Kenya than previously estimated, with a TB prevalence of 558 per 100,000 people. TB was found to be high in men between the ages of 25 and 34 years, urban dwellers and women over the age of 65. The majority, 83% of TB cases, were HIV negative, suggesting that broad efforts at controlling TB in people with and without HIV are needed.
For a long time, the estimates that we've used to accurately for the burden of tuberculosis have been provided by the World Health Organization. So, and these have been derived from the data that we get from hospital records. And we've always suspected that there could be a huge number of patients in the community that go untreated and undiagnosed and therefore fuel the transmission of the disease.
Now, he says, with the findings, the government and various stakeholders can deal with the disease effectively.
Now, we are not groping in the dark. We know how much disease there is in this country. But secondly, we know that 40% of the disease that occurs in this country remains undetected and untreated. And then we have a pretty very good idea on where these people who are undetected or untreated, who are usually called missing TB cases, are. With that information, we can be able to plan, to have strategic plans that really target the people who are at most risk, the people who are missed, and therefore be able to find them and provide them with treatment.
The United States Agency for International Development and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, provided technical and scientific support to the government of Kenya in the design and implementation of the survey, and $575,000 in funding to conduct it. According to the National Tuberculosis, Leprosy and Lung Disease Program in Kenya, the major factor responsible for the large TB disease burden in Kenya is a concurrent HIV epidemic. Other factors that have contributed include poverty and social deprivation that has led to a mushrooming of peri-urban slums located between cities and the countryside, and limited access to general health care services. The survey findings also reveal that the current practice of screening for TB symptoms and using microscopy as the only test misses many cases. The use of the Gene Expert, an innovative technology for the diagnosis of TB, detected 78% of TB cases among those screened, making it a more reliable and efficient test. A statement from the Cabinet Secretary of Health, Dr. Cleopa Mwailu, said in part that the government was committed to making TB diagnostics accessible where patients seek care by expanding the use of chest X-ray to screen all persons presumed to have TB and make Gene Expert the first diagnostic test for all presumed TB cases. The government also said that it will increase engagement with the private sector, carry out targeted approaches through community-based action, and improve community awareness of TB symptoms in an effort to make TB everyone's business. Rael Ombor for VOA News, Nairobi.
What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Join us each week on Upfront as we discuss a range of topics. The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do.
You basically need to go to school. There's just no way you're going to get all the skills that people want from you or they expect from you if you're not at school.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
And that's our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca. Today.